It's Helping Hand, weekly feature, HBR1 stations. Every Friday afternoon, we put the spotlight on organization, topic, event happening that offers assistance to folks who are disabled or other people who are facing special needs or circumstances. I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week we're learning about the Ronald McDonald House Hawaii, and this is an organization that we've been very fortunate to have on the program before. There are two Ronald McDonald Houses in continual operation 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, a home away from home. Families that have to come to the Honolulu area seeking specialized medical treatment for kids, catastrophic illnesses. We're going to learn a lot more about that. Guest families do come from a lot of different cultures, too, throughout the Pacific. Site notes, just over three-fourths of the families served come from islands other than Oahu as well. Guests there come from Guam, as an idea of what some of those other places could be. Pacific Rim locations is what we're thinking about. We're going to learn about how they help out people in a variety of ways and how we can help them out. Ronald McDonald House Charities of Hawaii has a great public relations manager who was our guest on Helping Hand before, and he's just a wonderful guy to see again, and welcome back, Gene Davis.
Hi, Dave. Thank you so much for having me back.
You are welcome. It's great to have you here. I know from our visits to McDonald's restaurants, many of us are aware of the organization you work with, but it's easy to not know about all the very special things that it has. So from its unique connection to McDonald's, though, to an actual mission, what it does for people facing difficult medical circumstances, can you sort of fill us in on, provide a little bit more understanding on what happens?
Sure. You know, there's a problem and we're the solution to the problem. That's the way it's working. Families who have to bring their children to Oahu for medical treatment that they don't have available to them back in their home islands. The child usually is in the hospital, but where do the parents stay? They need to be near the patient, but where do they stay? In their car, in a rental car, in the couches, in the waiting rooms of the hospitals. So that need was recognized, and back 28 years ago, the community got together and created the Ronald McDonald House so that these families, mainly from the neighbor islands, have a place where they can all hunker down and stay together and do all they can to help the child through its treatment.
And it is aimed at people who are less fortunate and otherwise can't afford another place to stay? Or is it just, is there no differentiation between who it would be appropriate for in terms of, so folks have a loved one, a child that they're in charge of, their child, and they've got to come here for medical treatment, but they're not necessarily people who aren't doing so well financially. Is it still appropriate for them, or is there...
Well, yes. We do ask families to chip in $20 a day if they're able. If they're not able, we waive that. But it's just to try and defer some of the costs that it takes to keep the house open each and every day. There are no socioeconomic type of restrictions or guidelines. All you need to do really is to be referred by a medical professional that can verify the child's condition. And other than that, you're pretty good, ready to go. We've had folks who were actually professionals. But when you think about staying in Honolulu for, say, 3 months, you know, that can break middle-class person as well as someone who has lesser means.
And you have guests who are staying there for, is that an average stay or what's the stay? That's a possible stay?
Yeah, the average stay is about, 10 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
But we have had families stay there for extended periods of time. For instance, a child from Kauai was born prematurely and needed to stay in the intensive care unit at Kapiolani Hospital. And frankly, the family didn't know what to do because the baby needed to be there for 2 years. So the baby spent the first 2 years at Kapiolani Hospital, and we took in the family from Kauai so that they could be near the child.
For 2 years?
2 years.
And their family didn't have a lot of money?
No.
And because otherwise, what do? You get a new job, you just move.
Well, what they did was they took turns. The wife would stay for a while. The husband would go back and work. And then he'd come and she'd, and because they had jobs that were very understanding. And
it must be. I mean, that's a, but that paints, talk about, that's a real picture that you paint there. And just the thought, I get it now, child is facing a serious medical crisis that's going to require several days. So it's not as simple as to stay somewhere like a hotel or something, because it's a long period of time. It could start to add up, the amount of money.
It could, especially, you know, if you're not expecting it. And I'll give you an example. We have a family staying at the house right now, excuse me, and they were vacationing from San Diego, and the wife went into premature labor and gave birth at 23 weeks. And that's extremely early. But so, you know, in those types of circumstances, a 2-week vacation, a 1-week vacation can turn into 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. And it changes a family's life, and it changes their world.
Because that kid can't fly, is what you're saying.
At that, right.
It's in that kind of fragile state of just being born, that's way too early to be on an airplane. So that child is going to have to be here until all of the medical checklist makes it acceptable for the child to fly.
Yep. The rule of thumb generally is if the baby was due on December 1st and came on November 1st, a month premature, that baby would need to spend 1 month in the hospital, and they would look at releasing him on his expected due date.
A lot of different kinds of situations. That's the interesting thing you're painting. People coming here, people from different islands. That's really, that's something. And there's two places, Hillside House and Oahu Avenue.
Right. They're about, quarter mile apart.
So they're near each other.
They're near each other. They're both accessible to Kapi'olani Medical Center. We do have shuttles that run the families back and forth to the hospital each day and evening. And so to put the two houses together, we have 17 guest rooms.
17 rooms. Yeah. And the if someone needs help, the other aspects of your service that don't get enough exposure, if there's something other than this aspect of people come, they could stay there. Are there other things that we haven't covered about what you do?
There is another important program that we have that's, it doesn't involve overnight sleeping, but it's called the family room, and it's inside Kapi'olani Hospital. So that's our partner there. And we have a room that's open from 9 in the morning to 9 in the evening, 365 days a year. And it allows families who are spending all their time in the intensive care wards with their children to be able to take short breaks and maybe go on the internet, research a condition, or watch a video, or have a snack, because there's a kitchenette, there's a living room, there's a child's playroom. So if the patient's brothers and sisters are along that day, they have a place to go to because they're not allowed to go into the intensive care unit.
This is in the Kapi'olani Medical Center?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. That's cool that you have. So that's that would be a third site for limited and different purpose.
It is. And an exciting thing about that program is that the majority of people that we serve are from Oahu. And so, you know, the house program, they're all from Oahu locations.
I get it.
But the one at the hospital, we are able to serve Oahu families.
What do you think trying to get, and is that, do you have volunteers or staff that's at this place at the Kapi'olani Medical Center?
It's staffed by volunteers 100%.
Okay. Yep. And several people, few?
We have 4-hour shifts, and so that would be like four-hour shifts, I think it is, each day, or is it three? Three 4-hour shifts every day.
You've got that. You've got the two houses, Ronald McDonald houses. Thinking about both of those, which encompass basically your service in the community, what's the biggest challenge you guys face?
Raising the amount that we need each year to operate, our operation expenses. When we have special projects that are necessary, you can often find community support to step forward for these projects. But quite often, it's harder to get operational monies so you can keep your nonprofit going and, you know, pay for the electricity and the gas and the salaries and all the basics. So we're right now, it's almost the end of the year for us. And it means that we are just trying to make sure that we've raised enough money so that we can pay all our bills.
It's a good point to money, bills. You guys get, there's a lot of ways people can help you guys out. And we've talked about it before, but it's pretty, I guess it's an important element anytime that you guys are guests. It's a twofold thing. McDonald's came up with this concept, correct? The restaurant at some point, or how did it originate in the beginning? Because we're going to get to the pay model thing of how you guys are different organization entirely. Okay. But just for my own, because I forget, I know it's a good story. How did it start? Yeah. Exactly.
Well, Fred Hill was a football player for the Philadelphia Eagles, tight end. Okay, and his they lived in Philadelphia, and his daughter came down with cancer. And so he ended up spending a lot of his time with his wife, Fran, in the Philadelphia Children's Hospital and looked around and noticed that there were a lot of parents and family members of patients that were suffering greatly because they didn't live nearby and they needed to be there. And so they tried to eat their meals out of the vending machines and, you know, those types of things. And he saw that something needed to be done. So he went back to the owner of the Philadelphia Eagles, Leonard Tose, and he said, is there anything we can do? Is the team willing to do anything to help this? And he said, sure, let's talk to the people at the hospital. So they met, they asked the hospital for a wish list. And around that point, McDonald's was enlisted for the very first fundraiser to open the very first Ronald McDonald House. So along when they got together with McDonald's, they decided to name it after Ronald McDonald, and they had a 1 week period where they sold the Shamrock Shake. It was during St. Patty's Day promotion, and all the money from the Shamrock Shake went to start the very first Ronald McDonald.
In what year is this?
It's 1975, I believe it was.
In the Philadelphia, and I grew up in the Philadelphia area, so maybe that's why. I mean, it's I've also, you know, on my own, I've consumed quite a bit of McDonald's in my life, and still do. So I see the thing frequently, and we'll talk about how effective the device is in the store, because when you told it to me last time, it was jaw dropping, really, and it really made me feel good about that, and it's something that anybody could feel. You know, it's an easy way to feel good, and it's true and legitimate, you know, which is nice. But so back to the beginning, just for my own, because I think it's such a the story is amazing. I did not ask that last time because I did not get this because I would have remembered this detail. So these guys want to. It starts the I got the Eagles part. They want to do it. They go to the hospital. They're like, we're going to make a facility, a facility separate from the hospital where people can stay. So we're going to need some land, a property, and we're going to make this place. Explain again the nuance of how, because it's the name of the place is the Ronald McDonald House. And the way that so many people can help you is through this restaurant. So I'm just curious, how exactly did they come in? They were asked by whom? Were they volunteered? Do you have that part of it?
You know, that part's a little fuzzy for me, but I believe that Leonard Tose,
owner
of the Eagles, had a relationship with owners of the McDonald's restaurants in Philadelphia.
Local franchise people.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And it starts there.
Yes.
And then somebody in that company realized, because here we are, you know, we're in Honolulu.
And there's 350 houses now.
Around the United States.
Around the world.
Around the world. They're in every state.
Good question. I think so. Any state that has a major children's hospital will definitely have a Ronald McDonald House nearby.
So they're associated with children's hospitals, but the company was able to, so I wonder if it's because I grew up there, because to me it seems just larger than life, or because, you know, it just seems like this, you know, and so the change devices, turning to that, for which take dot bills and anything, it's basically a donation portal.
Yes.
It's a physical donation portal that's on the counter at these restaurants. those are around the world in all the restaurants or only in places where, because I guess perceptually to me, and I don't keep track of such things, I don't really, you know, wherever I've been, I have never thought about it, these things in such detail, but it's a fascinating one. Are they in all McDonald's everywhere, Gene, all of the thousands of McDonald's supporting these 350?
Most all McDonald's. The way they put it is all participating McDonald's, but the participation rate is near 100%.
Right. Okay, so I get it. So what you said is the people who own the franchise have the discretion of deciding to participate is what that means.
More or less. You know, some stores around the world are not configured in a way that's possible to do.
Like an airport kiosk or something, yeah. You mean, or something like that. Yeah. But so then what the fascinating part, I guess, is like how many Ronald McDonald houses are there?
There's 350.
So 350, but it's supported by thousands of restaurants.
That's pretty
interesting. That's a neat concept that, and is that like a requirement that, I guess big companies always want to do something good, but that's not really a requirement, huh? It was just somebody who had the good sense to build it into... to take the Philadelphia concept and blow it up worldwide.
You're right. Someone had a great idea and they thought ahead and they said, we need a community partner. We need to be able to show that we are giving back to the communities that we serve. And so this opportunity came up and they went for it.
And children too, with the clown, yeah, and stuff.
Right.
So those portals, it's a phenomenal amount, or at least it was. Is it still as generous as it was before?
Yeah. Last year, I'm saying this year, we're projecting over $250,000 in Hawaii through those change canisters at all the stores.
Yeah, that's $250,000 just, mm-hmm, and those are. That comes out to be how much of a split in terms of supporting the 350 locations around the country versus just the local?
The money from our local stores, the local McDonald's, stays in Hawaii for the Ronald McDonald House in Hawaii. We do 25 cents on every dollar goes to the global office of Ronald McDonald House Charities to operate them.
So of every dollar, 75 cents stays in Hawaii to operate these. 25 cents, understandably, goes towards this greater mission.
Yes.
Wow, that's fascinating. And then I guess communities that don't have any hospital but have the change canister, it just all goes...
possibly to national.
It's a neat thing. Yeah. That's how it works. So out of your whole budget, looking at the organization, mm-hmm, and all the service that you provide, two locations plus the on-site facility... what's the operating for a year?
Our cash operating budget is about 1.6, I believe it is. And so 250,000, that's a substantial amount of that.
But that also indicates the rest of that comes how?
Well, we have different revenue streams that we rely on. Of course, our partners in the community, our corporate partners besides McDonald's are incredible. I hesitate to start naming them because I'm going to forget somebody. And
it's understandable. Yeah. No, they don't need their.
They're not doing it for that reason.
No,
you're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
And that is exactly. And and I just try to understand the McDonald's angle because it's important to understand, and because it could be something that people look at and say, I'm not going to do that. That doesn't really go anywhere. They, you know, people see something a lot. They both A, don't understand it as well as they think they do, and B, they may have misconceptions like that. And so that was one of the great things I learned from you last time. That was very, empowering for me because I've done. You see it. I've contributed to it. I've just bought so much McDonald's food in my life, especially since moving to this state where food is so expensive. And it just made you feel good to know that. And it's a neat thing anytime an enterprise is doing something like that. And also, the story is fascinating. I had no idea that it was linked to Philadelphia and the city of brotherly love. The way that people can help you beyond making those donations locally, I know that there's a gala. What was it last time you were on? You were doing something like that.
Yeah. We just had our gala this year at the Sheraton. It was a super success. We honored a longtime board member and volunteer by the name of Bruce Yanagihara, who's done so much for the organization over the last 20 years. And he's a wine enthusiast. And so the theme of the gala this year was wine country.
That's a great one. Who was it when you painted such a great story of how it was that the entity gave birth in Philadelphia? How did, and you briefly mentioned it, and then I sidetracked you, so it's my fault for not getting the story earlier, but how did it, who was it who said, let's start it here? Was it a McDonald's franchise? Because you said it only has been here, 28 years.
Yeah.
Do you remember how it arrived?
Sure. There was, first of all, a need was discovered and identified by a committee of groups in Hawaii, you know, caring service groups. And then they formed a committee as a capital campaign committee. And the chairman of the capital campaign committee was Sully, you know, the head of Foodland, the first person to bring the first McDonald's over here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So the first person who brought a McDonald's restaurant to the islands.
Also.
And ended up bringing, and the McDonald's was here way before that, I'm assuming, no?
Yeah, a little ways before that.
Not that much longer before?
I can't tell you
okay.
for sure.
Okay, because it's 28 years isn't that long, you would think. Yeah. McDonald's isn't that old. How old is McDonald's? The 50s?
They're about 50.
About 50 years old. I guess some things just seem older. I guess I think of them like older than that, but maybe it's not. That makes sense. So that guy, continue in your story. So the guy from Foodland, I don't know, is it Sully? That's his last name, first name?
Yeah, Maurice Sullivan.
Okay.
Maurice Sullivan. And so he was the chair, and they went out into the community. They raised enough money, and they purchased the house on Judd Hillside Road. And they needed to retrofit it. They needed to do a lot of construction and renovation so that it was appropriate for our purposes.
Right.
And that was done. And finally, in March 17th, 1987, the doors swung open for the first time, and we started having family stay with us.
And that's the guy who currently owns Foodland?
He's deceased at this time.
Okay, sorry.
But his family still owns Foodland. Absolutely. And
he was the founder of Foodland?
He was the founder of Foodland and a great individual. And he and his wife, Joanna, were who also has recently passed, were incredible community supporters and benefactors to Chaminade, to us, to many other nonprofits.
Fantastic. Does that family still own the franchises here, or they've sold those?
The McDonald's franchises? No, they don't.
But they still have the Foodland? You said
they do. Yes.
That's neat. It's neat to know where stuff comes from. I just dig that. It's the history of stuff. And where generous things start. It's as we talk about ways folks can help you, it's a great inspiration to give credit to these little stories of how it began and why it began. And you have two places, 17, right? You can do 17 rooms total.
Right.
Do you need another? So the stuff you need the most of, is it just money to operate what you have? Is it a growth thing? Where can people plug themselves in who want to do something in addition to volunteering at the day program from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m.? What else?
Well, the arrangement that we have right now with Outrigger Hotels is one where if we're completely full, they will take in a family temporarily until a room opens up at the Ronald McDonald House. So,
you need more of that?
So it's working quite well, actually.
Okay.
So we don't really need to expand at this time.
Because of that relationship.
Because of that, and because we're not overbooked that much all the time.
Okay.
But.
So what do you need?
Yeah, well, this year we're having a project at the house. You know how hot it was this last summer.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing with all the fog and everything. And our families in their guest rooms, it's not air conditioned. And so we've taken a project this year where we're going to be installing air conditioning in all the families' rooms. So to enhance the healing process, to make their lives a little bit more comfortable while they're there. And so it involves doing electrical upgrades to the house. Installing the photovoltaic on the rooftops to pay for the extra electricity, and then installing the air conditioners in all of the rooms so the families can stay cool at night. And this summer, it was over the top.
Do you need certain systems relating to that? Do you need the photovoltaic systems, the AC? I mean, what are there specific things you're already contracted? You just need to pay for what would be for someone who is a very generous person with resources who's listening, who's compelled to just get that done for you? What is it? What do you need?
Right. Well, you know, the plans are pretty much complete, mm-hmm. and I believe the vendors have been retained. And so, you know, probably the best thing that anybody could do right now would be to donate some cash.
Right. And if they contacted you, you'd be able to set them straight if they said, hey, I want to help you with this, with the AC. Because that's just, you're talking about things that a lot of people listening could, who knows what resources they've got.
Sure.
With the solar, with the electrical work, everything you just ran down. I could just imagine that if someone called you, you'd be eager to talk to them because you have plenty of other things going on you need help with.
We're open to all ideas.
And you can do that at, I'll give you Gene's personal email, which is coming up in a moment. RonaldHouseHawaii.org is the website, and you can find out more information about their programs and also how to support them and how to pass along information to other people, too, if you want to share it. If calling them is more convenient, 973-5683. They're on Facebook. And Gene, you can reach if you want to be generous and donate something and you have an idea for a way to help them out. gd@mhchawaii.org.
RMHC.
Let me do this again.
Okay.
gd@rmhc.org.
RMHC.org.
Yeah. I'm going effing blind. I'm sure I have it written there, right? And you can email Gene directly at gd@rmhchawaii.org and at hawaiipublicradio.org. I've got his email address and their phone number and the web address and the full-length interview and all of our other Helping Hand guests waiting for you. Public Relations Manager Gene Davis, Ronald McDonald House Charities of Hawaii. Anything that we left out that's important, let's make sure we get that in there.
Well, you know, you mentioned the website. I would recommend folks go to the website because there's dozens of stories about the families that have stayed there, stories about the volunteers, information about how you can help, as well as a donate button you can press, and then you'll go to a secure site and you can make a year-end donation to help Ronald McDonald House.
And if people want to volunteer on the website, is there a place that mentions that and goes over some of the details?
Yes. In fact, there's fillable forms where they can actually fill out the volunteer application and then make an appointment to come in and talk to the volunteer manager.
That's great. And you'll take calls from anybody who's got any other ways to help you out with this air conditioning project, which sounds quite important. 17 rooms needed. Yeah. Are the common areas done?
No.
None of it?
No. But, you know, we have, we're situated in such a way, if we open up enough of the windows, we get a nice cross breeze in the common areas. It's the guest rooms that we're worried about.
You have a real good need, and I hope that being on Helping Hand will help fix it. I really do. So somebody with a bunch of cash or a knowledge with air conditioning, solar power can help get some AC to the Ronald McDonald House Charities of Hawaii and their two properties where they're looking after folks 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, families from around the Aloha State who have kids in trouble that need to be here in a hospital for a long period of time, that staying in a hotel would just cost a whole bunch of money. And I'm real grateful not to be in that situation. Glad to help you. I hope when you want to, we should have you on before the gala, or we'll have you on when you want to be on, but please reach out when you'd like to be on, and if I don't hear from you in a long enough time, I'll lasso you back.
Okay. I appreciate that so much, Dave. Thank you.